not on. To begin this morning, I just want to welcome our friends from Port Angeles who are going to be worshiping with us, even though it's going to be a couple weeks later. But we want to make them sure feel as if they are participating with us this morning in this worship. Our scripture reading will come from the book of Exodus, chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27, and I'll be reading the verses 1 through 19. Are we rolling this morning? Okay. Exodus chapter 27, the verses 1 through 19. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Build an altar of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It is to be square, 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits wide. Make a horn at each of the 4 corners, so that the horns and the altar are of one piece, and overlay the altar with bronze. Make all its utensils of bronze, its pots to remove the ashes, and its shovels, sprinkling bowls, meat forks, and fire pans. Make a grating for it, a bronze network, and make a bronze ring at each of the 4 corners of the network. Put it under the ledge of the altar so that it is halfway up the altar. Make poles of acacia wood for the altar and overlay them with bronze. The poles are to be inserted into the rings so that they will be on 2 sides of the altar when it is carried. Make the altar hollow out of boards. It is to be made just as you were shown on the mountain. Make a courtyard for the tabernacle. The south side shall be 100 cubits long, and it is to have curtains of finely twisted linen, with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The north side shall be 100 cubits long, and it is to have curtains with 20 posts and 20 bronze bases, and with silver hooks and bands on the posts. The west end of the courtyard shall be 50 cubits wide, and have curtains with 10 posts and 10 bases. On the east end, toward the sunrise, the courtyard shall be 50 cubits wide. Curtains 15 cubits long are to be on the one side of the entrance, with 3 posts and 3 bases, and curtains 15 cubits long are to be on the other side with 3 posts and 3 bases. For the entrance to the courtyard, provide a curtain 20 cubits long of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer, with 4 posts and 4 bases. All the posts around the courtyard are to have silver bands and hooks and bronze bases. The courtyard shall be 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide, with curtains of finely twisted linen, 5 cubits high, with bronze bases. All the other articles used in the service of the tabernacle, whatever their function, including all the tent pegs for it and those for the courtyard, are to be of bronze. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the book of Exodus, chapter 27. In our study of the book of Exodus in this section, we are looking at the building and the giving of instructions to God's people for the building of this tabernacle. And in the last few weeks, we have looked at the building of the tabernacle proper, the tent and the place which covered the Holy of Holies and the holy place, the place where God dwelled with his people. And now this morning, as we move to Exodus chapter 27, we begin to look at the courtyard itself. There was the tabernacle proper, which was the holy place and the holy of holies, and had a tent covering over it. And then surrounding the tabernacle proper was what we now know in Exodus 27 as the courtyard. No person could enter into the holy place or the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could enter, but the common person was prevented from going in the place where God's presence was. But in this courtyard, the common person could enter. The lay person could also enter in this place and go near the tabernacle, the place of God's dwelling, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. And you will notice this morning that as we have read in Exodus 27, the entrance to this courtyard is made to look very much like the tabernacle itself. In verse 16, we read these words, "For the entrance to the courtyard provide a curtain 20 cubits long of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer." As the common person, as the lay person came to approach this courtyard, the first thing that he would see was the entrance to the courtyard made with the very same colors that the tabernacle itself was made of. You notice that it is made of blue, purple, scarlet, and finely twisted linen. The blue represented the heavenly realms. When we look at the sky, we see the blueness of the sky, and we know that our God is in heaven, and the heavenly realms are represented with the color blue on the entrance to this courtyard. If they go into the courtyard, they are entering into a heavenly place, a place where God is. The second color that is mentioned is the color purple. The purple represented the kingship of our God. The color purple in those days was a very rare color. It was expensive to make, it was very rare to find, and the only people who could afford such a color was a king. As the people entered into this courtyard, the heavenly dwelling of God, they saw the color purple, and they remembered that their God was their king. You also notice that it was made of scarlet yarn, the color red representing the judgment of God. Not anyone could just enter into this place without properly entering. Sinners cannot enter a holy place without facing the judgment of God. Anyone who entered into this tabernacle in an improper way faced the shedding of blood for their sins and their unholiness. And finally, you notice that this entrance was made with fine twisted linen. White. The white representing the purity of the place and of those who were inside near the dwelling place of God. Now you remember that in last week's sermon, as we looked at Exodus 26, the entire tabernacle itself was made of these colors. The inside of the tabernacle where the curtain was over the holy place and the most holy place was made of these colors. The entrance to the Holy of Holies between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was also a curtain made of these colors. The entrance into the holy place itself was made of these colors. And now we read in this chapter that the entrance to this courtyard is made of these colors. But not all of the curtain surrounding this courtyard was made of these same colors. Look at verse 9. "Make a courtyard for the tabernacle. The south side shall be 100 cubits long, and it is to have curtains of finely twisted linen." The curtains surrounding this courtyard, which surrounds the tabernacle itself, is to be made of white linen. Pure, finely twisted linen. Now why is this? Why didn't God have them match the entrance and the whole entire courtyard with the rest of the tabernacle itself? Is this easier? Is this way because perhaps it cost less for them to make? God has a specific reason why this courtyard is surrounded by white. Someone could only enter into this courtyard if he had been declared pure. Sinners and unholy people may not be there. Something must be done for them to go into this place and to be near the dwelling place of God. And the whiteness of the outer curtains of this courtyard represented the purity of the place and the purity of those who were there near the dwelling place of God. And this distinction was very obvious. Now I know I read quickly those numbers and those instructions that are given in this chapter, but what comes out in the understanding of these is that the courtyard of the curtain was low. The curtain of the courtyard was lower than the tabernacle itself. So anyone standing outside of the courtyard could see the whiteness of the courtyard curtain, but they were also able to see, because it was made low enough, the tops of the tabernacle itself with all of its different colors. Clearly, God has made a distinction, and He wants the Israelites to see this distinction, that to enter into this courtyard, they must be declared pure. They must know that they are worthy to stand near the presence of God in the tabernacle structure itself. And so, as someone stood outside of this courtyard, they could look over the top, and they could see the temple, they could see the tabernacle structure itself, they could see that there were people inside, and they knew that for them to go inside, they had to be declared pure and righteous. How can this take place? Well, blocking the entrance to the courtyard was not only this curtain that was made, which could be opened so people could enter in, but there was also placed at the entrance, blocking the way so that no one could bypass it, the altar of burnt offering. In verses 1 and 2, we read this: "Build an altar of acacia wood, 3 cubits high. It is to be square, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. Make a horn at each of the 4 corners so that the horns and the altar are of one piece, and overlay the altar with bronze." Blocking the way of the entrance into this courtyard, which was surrounded by white linen, declaring the purity of the place and the purity of those who are near God, is this altar of burnt offering. There are 2 altars within the tabernacle structure itself. In chapter 30, we are going to read of the altar of incense, which is placed in the holy place before the Holy of Holies. And there is this altar of burnt offering, an altar blocking the entrance for Israelites into the courtyard, the dwelling place of God. For them to enter into the courtyard, the place of this purity, they had to go through this altar. They had to bring their sacrifices and their burnt offerings. For anyone to come into the courtyard, they had to have their bull or their goat. And don't think that this was an exciting and a wonderful thing for them to watch. Here they come with their animal, and they watched as it was slaughtered and destroyed. And then they watched as the pieces, as the priest took the pieces of that animal and put it upon this altar, burning it up and destroying it. This was a life taken for life. For a sinner to enter into the courtyard of God and be near the tabernacle structure, the dwelling place of God, sin had to be dealt with. And the sin that was dealt with through the death of those animals. Life was destroyed because of their sin. Life was taken so that they could enjoy life, so that they could come into the courtyard, into the presence of God. And after the sacrifice had been made, the priest would come to the layperson, and he would say, "Peace to you. Your sacrifice has been received. Come. Enter into the courtyard, the dwelling place of God. Be near the tabernacle. Be near the Holy of Holies, where God's presence is between the cherubim on the Ark of the Testimony. Come and enter this place." And there the Israelite would stand in the courtyard, and he would see the white linen curtains surrounding the entire courtyard complex. He would see the tabernacle up close as he was near the place where God's dwelling was. And he would be comforted to know that his offering was received, and in that courtyard he was declared pure. The author of Psalm 84 wrote about this. The author of Psalm 84 wrote about this because this was something that everyone Israel knew about and everyone needed. The author of Psalm 84 is away from the tabernacle or the temple itself. He is out where he is surrounded by his enemies. And in Psalm 84, he writes these words: "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." While he is out in the field of battle, separated from Jerusalem, separated from the dwelling place of God, he reflects on the place in his life that he would rather be. He would rather be near the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle itself, the Holy of Holies, where God's presence is. His soul is yearning, even fainting, for what? For the courts of the living God. He wants to be in the courtyard. He wants to be near the place where God is dwelling. He longs to be in the courtyard where he is surrounded by the white curtains, declaring that he is pure because his sacrifice has been received. He even goes on in verse 3 to write this: "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." The author describes what it is like to be in this courtyard. It is safe for the sparrow and the swallow. It is a safe place where the young have no fear. It is a place near God's altar where there are people who praise God all the time near his dwelling place. The author of Psalm 84 recognized what it was like to be in the courtyard. That was his desire, to be in that place. Now, some of us might be thinking this morning, wouldn't that be wonderful if we had something like that now? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a tabernacle and we knew that God was present there? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could go into the courtyard where we could come as sinners and bring our sacrifice, and the priest could tell us that our sins were forgiven, that we could come into this courtyard and be near the dwelling place of God, safe and secure in his presence, near him, knowing that our sins were forgiven? Yes, what a glorious thing that must have been. But what a far more glorious thing do we have for ourselves? You see, in Hebrews chapter 10, the author of Hebrews instructs us and tells us what a far greater thing we have in the New Testament in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, the author of Hebrews is writing about this very thing. He writes, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, they would not have stopped being offered, For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Yes, what a glorious thing it must have been to go into the courtyard and to be in the place near the living God. But they could not stay in that courtyard. Year after year, day after day, if they wanted to go back into the courtyard, they had to again bring their bull and their goats. Their sins were always before them. Their sins were never completely forgiven. Time after time, they would have to bring their bull and their goat, and his life and the life of those animals would be have to be taken once again so that they could enter and go into that place. And so in verse 8 of Hebrews 10, the author goes on and he says this. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. No longer does blood have to be shed for God's people to enter into the courtyard. No longer do God's people have to bring bulls and goats and watch as the priest sacrifices the animal there on the altar of burnt offering before they can enter the courtyard of purity near the dwelling of God. For Christ has come, verse 10, and once for all, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there are no sacrifices left. His life was given so that our lives are not given. God dealt with our sin through his death on the cross. God has provided for us a way that we can be declared righteous through his death, through the giving of his life, so that we can go into the courtyard. Look at verse 11 of Hebrews 10. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. His one sacrifice, his death on the cross, makes his people holy and pure. His righteous life enables us to enter into the courtyard. Yes, what a glorious thing it must have been in the Old Testament to witness the sacrifice and to spend time in the courtyard near the dwelling place of God. But what a far more glorious thing do we have to know that God's Son was put on the cross, that he has declared us righteous, perfect and holy by his one sacrifice forever, so that we can be near the living God forever. Truly, we are near the living God. We can pray to him. We can read from his word. We know that Christ, our high priest, has declared us righteous because we believe in him. We can come to worship him here as we have done on this day. In fact, in Revelation chapter 19, as John is looking into heaven, he describes the bride, the church. That's all of you. In Revelation 19, verse 6, John writes these words, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and the loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him the glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints.'" This is the heavenly city of Jerusalem. It also is surrounded by white linen. It has been declared righteous and pure by its bridegroom, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And this is the place where all of God's people may go. This is the place by His sacrifice, by His death and resurrection, God's people can enter. God's people can dwell. We, like the writer of Psalm 84, must call out in our lives what He has called. "How lovely is Your dwelling place, O Lord God Almighty. Our souls yearn and even faint to be in Your courts. Our hearts and our flesh cry out for You, the living God. In You, O God, a sparrow has found its home, a swallow a nest for herself that she may have her young, a place near Your altar, who is Christ." This is the dwelling place of God, and this is the courtyard of which we must long with all of our hearts to be. Are these the words of Your lips? Are these the words of Your calling? Is your heart and flesh crying out to be near the living God? Or would you rather be here, away from Him, in your sin? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for what we can read this morning concerning the Old Testament tabernacle and its courtyard. We thank You, O God, that in Christ we have the one sacrifice that is made for all, that He has declared us as His church righteous, that even now we can be in Your courtyard, near You, near Your presence, having been purified through His blood. And, O God, may we as Your people always desire to live and be in this courtyard. May You cause us in our hearts to long to be with You and to long to be near You in our lives here on earth and long to be near You forevermore in heaven. O God, may we be that bride that is described in Revelation 19, the bride of Christ dressed in linen, covered with the righteous acts that He has done for us. And may we forever long to be in that place with You, dwelling in Your presence forevermore. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.